Who's ready for a shower?
Wait, what day is today?
Today is Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday's bad for me.
Thursday's perfect.
I don't know if you've worked with one of these. We call it a microphone.
Just let me know when I'm on, all right?
I don't know who you are.
Well, I'm something of a famous radio personality.
That sounds like a very familiar voice.
Are we ready?
It's time for a great day.
Showtime.
TSN 1200.
Well, how's it going? Welcome back to the show. If you're just waking up and joining us, welcome to it. It is 9:21 here on a Thursday morning with JR, Simmer, and Hammer. 22nd day of July, and we're knee-deep in hockey talk. We're about a month almost exactly from where we typically would be on an NHL calendar.
Yeah.
Typically, the NHL draft is usually the last weekend of June. Now it's going to be, well, tomorrow, the last weekend of July. So. Mm-hmm. It's a bit weird to be talking about this. It's my whole kind of equilibrium is off a little bit because I have to catch myself at times going, well, we're talking about an expansion draft is a one off, but we're talking about the amateur draft this weekend, and the next week is free agency, and I'm thinking, well, that's the end of June and early July.
Yeah.
No, in fact, we're at the end of July, so this is going to seem especially for teams that have played Tampa and Montreal, and now they're into this offseason. This is going to be like the shortest summer ever for players and managers and everybody else.
Yeah, I think back to 5 years old, JR. Hockey tryouts are in Labor Day. Easter weekend it would end. My entire employment in the National Hockey League would start July 1st and June 30th. So you talk about a calendar and being mixed up. And as far as the Ottawa Senators and Pierre Dorion, interesting of, I don't know if it's just me, and when you end the season, you want a defenseman and want a center. I'm sitting and looking at all the things that are going on around the National Hockey League, especially Edmonton. And if I'm a Sens fan, I'm almost just thinking, you know what? We don't do anything, and we just continue along here with what we have right now. I'd be more than happy. Like I said, I these fits that you're trying to find and these rumors that are flying around, hey, bring Pinto in. You got Tierney and White and Dadonov. Let's see what's on defense. But if there's not anything that fits right now, don't force it, and let's get to training camp. Let's get rocking and rolling.
A text comes in along those lines. Sens need a number 2 or 1B center and a top right shot D. That's it.
Yeah,
that comes
from
unsigned. And
they're all over the place.
Well, yeah, and that's what Eugene Melnyk a few weeks ago had identified as that he and actually said it was DJ Smith that he chatted with about it, and that was going to be the focus of the off season. Now, whether that actually comes to fruition or not, we'll have to wait and see. I agree with you 100%. The Sens are headed in the right direction. If they take care of business with what they have in-house, that will be okay. Would you like to add to it and kind of push it forward? And absolutely, But don't be robbing Peter to pay Paul or whatever, you know, whatever the cliche goes. If it can happen, great. If it doesn't, then just stick with what you have.
Yeah, and I don't even know on Strom, but if there's a one-year deal on guys, you want to bring it in, JR, I understand. Now you get into the placeholder, he's shown he can play. This isn't where Stepan was at, but if you're forcing it, and when Dvorak's rolled around, I'm thinking, well, okay, I'm assuming you're trading White, which I don't know Dvorak well enough, I won't even comment. Comparable money, dollars, kind of that. Why not bring White back and try him in the 2 spot, see where you're at with Pinto? And in the defense, I'll keep going back to the same thing for where Zaitsev is at, unless they've sat down and said, you know what, coach, you can't play Zaitsev with Shabbat anymore. If that's what the coach is going to do and then Zub is in the 2 slot, I just want to keep asking who this miracle defenseman is that's going to roll into town on the right contract. So I don't know what the fits are. And as I said, I would hope that they're not going to force anything, but I think we'll find out here in the next week. I don't think after probably next Friday, though I know last year Dadonov came a little later, Jer, but I think by the end of next week, the other thing, a lot of managers probably just want to get out of Dodge and enjoy a bit of summer, but I think we'll have a pretty good indication as to where the market is by the time things wrap up next week.
Text comes in, any news yet on Tkachuk or Batherson contracts? Well, if there was news, you would have heard about it. The answer there is a no. Pierre Dorion is going to try to, based on what we saw with Thomas Chabot and what he said publicly, going to try to keep that absolutely under wraps, and then there'll be a ta-da, and there'll be some sort of now that's easier said than done. I give him full credit. Now, the Chabot agents, I believe, he's not with a huge agency, correct? Yeah. He's with a kind of a smaller group out of Quebec.
Yeah.
Some of the bigger named agents, Craig Oster, of course, is Brady Kachuk's uncle.
Yeah.
But the group that he's with, Drake Batherson's agent is, do you know off the top of your head, know who that is?
No, we talked about it last spring, but I don't recall.
And regardless, sometimes with the bigger agencies, correct? That's where information sometimes can leak out, either purposefully or not.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, also, if you've gone into negotiation, and for Craig Oster, he could write a book, and he's held more state secrets here in Ottawa with Carlson to Stone to Pageau to anybody else. He's not saying anything. I don't expect him to. In the case of Batherson, and some people have floated out, JR, I wouldn't doubt that as Ottawa and we get closer to having people in the building, as you start to launch your schedule, start rebuilding your season ticket and your ticket sales, wouldn't be shocked if the timing of, if anything's going on with Brady Kachuk, I would assume that in the next week to 10 days, you will have an announcement, or I think this may grind towards training camp, because as I think the timing of that to start selling some inventory would be pretty smart by Ottawa.
Have you guys given up on Logan Brown, writes Justin?
I haven't given up on him, but if you feel the market and kind of what's going on behind the scenes, I think he's going to be moved. I don't know what the trade is. I'm assuming it's kind of a toss away. Some people have brought up Glass and Nolan Patrick. I don't think we're even talking on that level. You're talking about, I don't even know. I couldn't even come up with a name, JR, but you know what? I'd bring him back to training camp, but I also understand. I'm not sitting there and counting on him to do anything.
Anything's a bonus now.
Well, exactly.
Right.
And if you're just going to hand him away, you know, I wouldn't lose sleep over it. But as I said, if any Sens fan is thinking about that, that's also in relation to the draft. You know, if you're getting a third or fourth round pick, that might be a rationale or a reason why Ottawa moves him along in the next day or so.
And listen, Logan Brown's game, he has to play on the first two lines of your team. His game is not suited whatsoever to be your prototypical, we'll say, third or fourth line center.
No. And that's changed over the years, but he doesn't fit.
No, exactly. So I wonder, I don't know, is there any future for that guy and take him off center and put him on wing, put him as a left winger?
Yeah, it's a possibility.
He is I'll say one thing.
Yeah.
I think that he can play on an NHL power play.
Oh, for sure.
And I just wonder if somehow, some way, and Pierre Maguire's always talked to, you know, seven player profile about having a specialist. And I'm not saying he's that level yet, but I just wonder if they kind of look at it, if there's a final reclamation project, you know, a final try with Logan Brown is, look, the foot speed, you know, everything, it's just not good enough to be a center the way that centers typically play in the NHL right now.
Yeah.
So we're going to try him as a left winger, and maybe he plays, because the pace isn't necessarily there, he plays in 5-on-5, plays down in your lineup a little bit more, but he is a key part of your power play.
Yeah.
I just wonder if that's a last kind of ditch chance.
Yeah, first of all, I'd want to have some great talent around him. I'd need the ability to stretch the ice, open things up, JR. Issues I have with Logan are pace when up and running aren't bad. He's not very strong in the puck. I don't want him to be great defensively, but for a bigger man, leverage isn't great. And that becomes an issue as a winger, both getting out of your own zone. But in a perfect world, and you go back to some of the old school, you know, I'll even use my buddy Jason Allison. Jason, at least in his prime, although became a pretty good skater, JR, if nothing else, I need you down low to just use that ass and protect the puck, right? Like, I need you to just settle in and do it. Unfortunately, Logan doesn't have those skills. What you see on a power play is that when backed off, running a half wall, he's actually really good. But I don't know that the hockey strength is there either. But, hey, this is something teams will look at and maybe in the right spot. But first and foremost, my gosh, if he doesn't stay healthy, all this talk about where you're at doesn't matter. And can he make up for all this lost development time in the last 5 years?
Okay, so Joey Decord is gone in the expansion draft. He is now a member of the Kraken. In fact, he tweeted out yesterday as the news became official. Couldn't be more fired up to join the squad. Not my first time starting a new team. Of course, he was a member of Arizona State when they launched men's hockey program, and he'll be starting fresh with the Kraken. So, with Decord now gone, our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question is this. Project ahead, if you will, not to October of this year, but October of 2022. So, another season will have gone off the odometer for the Ottawa Senators in their hopeful ascension to a playoff position. Who will be the Sens starting goalie 1 year from now? Will it be Matt Murray, who at that point will be into year three of his four-year contract? Will it be Philip Gustafson? Will it be Simmers boy, Mad Sogard?
Yeah.
Or will it be someone else, some mystery goalie from some other organization, we presume?
Yeah.
So Murray, Gustafson, Mad Sogard, someone else. Simmer.
Someone else. I don't have faith in Matt Murray right now. Gustafson won't be ready for where this team is at. Whatever happens here this year, JR, we'll have to come close to making a playoff, and I don't know. And, hey, I'm certainly understanding with Matt Murray, I need a refresh. It wasn't just last year, though. We're talking about 2 or 3 years here where he struggled. Don't like the vibe, don't like the style. And as far as Gustafson, when it comes to the pressure in the prime time, I haven't felt or seen that yet. Even in Belleville, when it counted 2 years ago, they went to Decord at every turn. Sogard, young and up and coming, he won't be ready for that. So where this team matches up a year from now, whoever the managers and coaches are, the mandate is going to be you have to, and I say this under no circumstance, you have to be a playoff team, so I think you're going to go searching.
All right, there we go. So someone else. Hammer.
I think it's still going to be Matt Murray. Sign him to a big contract. You brought him over here. You'll give him every opportunity you can. It might be a little more 60-40 at that time with one of the youngsters backing him up, but I still think Matt Murray will rebound from a bit of a struggle last year to hold on to that number one job for a couple more years.
So under that scenario, or Matt, you believe Matt Murray will be the starting goalie for the Sens in 2022, you are then presuming that Matt Murray is going to be at least decent to good this year, if not beyond that.
Exactly.
Right? If
well,
he has another,
he
another
some flashes.
If he has another stinker year next year, then I think Simmer's scenario probably
it's
has
done.
To play.
Yeah,
itself
I, but yeah. I can't even, guys. I can't even go with that. Like, kind of what I can't have is up and down. I can't have he played okay for 4 games. He was not very good. He's hurt again. No. I need absolute no excuses. He's working on his glove hand. He's adjusting to this, JR. That roller coaster. He is being allocated $7 million in compensation. He's won 2 Stanley Cups. I don't need to go down this path again. I need a Craig Anderson that I know what I'm getting on a nightly basis. So this is not a work in progress anymore. This is an absolute that come opening night has to be one of the top 10 to 15 goaltenders in the National Hockey League, or you're asking for problems.
What's the percent? What's the workload for Matt Murray this season? And with, I'm just trying to rate his success. What would be a successful season for him?
3 out of every 4.
3 out of every 4. And that's being decent at 3 out of every 4.
Well, again,
he's not going to play if he stinks.
Yeah, and then you go to Forsberg. Where is that going to head you? Like I said, all these are going to be pressure points of if neither of the tandem, and I really liked Forsberg's game, but it's a small sample size. I recognize he's nothing more than a backup goaltender. Ottawa was, as a franchise, you guys lived it up close and personal. Before Anderson arrived, you go down this slippery slope of, you know what, he's good for a little stretch. I think there's some promise.
Gerber!
Yeah, no, but Matt Murray's not at that point in his career. Like, that's not what you paid for, and that's certainly based on his pedigree. You just hope that it can come back, guys, but like I said, I'm nervous about the style, and I'm really nervous about the body language, but it's a full reset for this year. Let's see come training camp.
I understand your point, Jer, about he's not going to play if he stinks, but you're going to put a $6 million goaltender on your bench. And I also understand the scenario of DJ Smith being on the last year of his contract, Pierre Dorion, who brought him in. I'm not too sure where his contract is at, but
he's going into his last year.
Going into his last year as well, then. It's a battle of heads right there, right? One wants to win, but one brought that goaltender in and paid him a hefty contract. So who wins that battle $6 million goaltender?
If Matt Murray is not very good in the first half of next season, let's say, and Pierre Dorion at that point does not have a contract extension, that's going to sink him. That is going to absolutely sink him. If the team stinks, or the team does not achieve some level of success that's better than what, you know, on kind of an upward slope, and the biggest reason is the goalie, and the general manager who brought the goalie in and paid him for 4 years does not have a contract extension in hand, he's going to be done.
Yeah.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts
about it. And the other thing, 2 years ago, guys, I said this on Colin White, I can shift him around and hide him, give him opportunities. It's a throwaway year. Last year we saw starting to play for keeps, especially down the stretch. He got bypassed by Pinto when he came out of college. As of opening night, there will be no free passes. There will be nobody, oh my God, he had the best training camp I've ever seen. He's coming in great shape. It ain't happening. The best players are going to play from opening night. And hey, you got to park him. The key hammer is, if Gustafson showed up and is your starter, you'll be able to look past that. Nobody will care. Hey, you know, that's part of, he's on an entry-level deal. The issue is if you don't have any goaltending, but it's going to be playing for keeps from opening night. There won't be any of this. Well, we
and
need,
that's from the DJ Smith point of view,
oh,
right?
From everybody, from the owner, from the manager. You're going to say, hey, I want you to start winning some hockey games. Not, well, Matt's getting comfortable. He's working on his glove hand. Well, his glove hand seems to be missing the puck an awful lot. And so, no, I don't see that hat. Nobody's going to worry about feelings, anything else. All they're going to say is, hey, there's a lot of good things here. And that is the part for Ottawa. Hey, there's a lot of good pieces in place. I don't have to do smoke and mirrors, but I'm also not going to be trying to worry about where somebody slotted or who brought the guy in. I got to start winning hockey games come open night. The pressure's on everybody, including ownership in the business, to basically, you know, to rebrand this whole organization.
The issue for your answer, Simmer, of someone else, if it goes down that road, is that if it's someone else, Matt Murray is still going to have 2 years and $15 million left on his contract, which would be, and if he's not playing, that means that it's still El Stinkeroo for another year, which means his value is probably nil at that point. Like, you would have trouble even giving him away with that kind of money left. And so, you know, the someone else you're going to want to bring in someone with a resume, and with a resume usually comes significant dollars. Yeah. And then you're paying Matt Murray $7 million to sit on the bench and be the backup. And you're going to be, you know, paying what, minimum $4 to $5 million for somebody who you're putting your, and then you're paying $11 and $12 million for a goaltending tandem, which again is something that I don't like to do.
No,
it's too much money.
No, I don't, but as I said, I'll go back to Montreal. Okay, you can say you don't want to do it. You've made your bed with Carey Price. Ottawa's made their bed with Matt Murray, JR. I have said before, and I don't know if it's publicly, I thought about it probably when I was going to bed. I'll be honest with you, and I've used Driedger as an example. If I could sign Driedger to that contract and a Ottawa this summer, I would do that. But that's my gut feeling. I don't trust Matt Murray. I feel like I needed to go out and do something, because if he doesn't work, I'm not confident that there's a plan B. So I would have actually been proactive to do something, and I think you'll be forced at that time. And as far as Matt Murray, no, he's not going anywhere other than if he continues along. Now, there's 3 years. I mean, he'll be bought out. So, but this is also, I'll go back to, you know, it's harder in Ottawa because I don't know what the budget is. But this idea that, you know what, other teams that are up to $80 million, when there's a problem, well, okay, I know it's a problem. It's not going away. If I have to go out and spend more money in a spot, I do it, just like Montreal did with a guy like Jake Allen. You can't look the other way. So, like I said, from an auto perspective, I don't want to do it, JR, and I agree with you. I don't want to spend $11 million, but if I'm allocated X million dollars, whatever else I'm spending ain't going to matter, because I'm just not going to have a very good hockey team.
Yeah, You have to have a goalie at the end of the day.
Oh, God, yeah. Right. Yeah.
So I will give the third of the four options. I will give the third different answer. I'm not 100% confident in this, but small sample size. But I'm going to go with Philip Gustafson. Yeah, I like what I saw of him. I understand everything that you said, Simmer. My eyes were opened a lot, and I understand it's kind of a flavor of the day. There's no pressure on the guy when he came in. All that is true. That's true, and you can only deal with what you have in front of you, right? You can't make you can't make the games Ottawa played at the end of this year, last year in which he played, you can't make them pressure filled because the team was out of it. So he can only be what he is, which was, I thought, a very solid, technically sound goaltender. I go to his resume of being picked in the second round. So and whether Pittsburgh is the only team that thought he was a second round worthy goaltender, or whether other teams thought the same. Yeah. He was a high goalie pick.
Absolutely.
He was the best goalie at the World Juniors the one year he played in it. Like, the resume is pretty good. So the pedigree is there. And then just in what I've seen in Ottawa, and I don't watch in much Belleville, what I saw in Ottawa, I was impressed. Well, I will go Gus, the bus.
Yeah, and if you told me, JR, he'll come back and play at that level, I think he'll be your starting goaltender. I was nothing but impressed. I would say semi-shocked on how efficient, how easy it made. My spidey senses on some other things make me nervous, and I'll go back to when it really counted in Belleville, but he's a young kid. You know what I mean? He's a young goaltender. goaltender, and all the other things you said match up. So, hey, let's roll back to camp. And from an Ottawa perspective, what you'd also really hope, Matt Murray comes in and plays well. And a year from now, Forsberg is, of course, gone. Gustafson and Murray become a really nice tandem. That's where if you're using the glass half full.
Mm-hmm.
But if Gus the Bus rolls in, the other part I would do pretty quickly. It depends on Murray. You hope Murray plays well so you can buy time. But if Gus plays the way he did, you know, that's maybe where you end up waiving Forsberg or carry three goaltenders and he's playing. But all of this, again, all the plans Ottawa's making, defensemen, wingers, centers, all these things, like I said, it all starts with Matt Murray. And if he comes back and is a real good goaltender for you, it's him and Forsberg. Gus is down there with Sogard playing. And a year from now, you could have a real nice tandem. And like I said, from what you're saying with Gus, I agree. Like, man, if that's what I could get going forward, he's going to be a really nice starting goalie.
All right, so your vote so far to our Tool and Equipment Store web poll question. Everybody's on the Gus bus. 54% of you think a year from now it'll be Philip Gustafson as the Sens starting our number one goalie. Matt Murray gets 33% of the votes. 7% are on the Big Dane, the Great Dane, or what they hope will be the Great Dane, Mads Søgaard. And 6% someone else. Okay, you can go to our website, tsn1200.ca, and vote on our Tool and Equipment Store web poll question. We'll run that throughout the day. Don't forget, Pierre Dorion, Sens GM, will be on at 10:30 this morning with his last availability before the amateur draft coming up tomorrow and Saturday, of which we will have full coverage rounds 1 through 7 right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
Welcome back, 9:47. J.R. Simmer and Hammer, Steve Lloyd and Graham Creech coming up top of the hour within the box. Again, Pierre Dorion at 10:30 this morning. One of the interesting players that didn't end up getting picked yesterday was, to me at least, based on his history with Ron Francis, is Jake Bean from Carolina. Yeah, I had thought that was a former first-round pick. Had worked his way into the NHL after marinating a long time in the minors. Everybody thinks, I think, relatively highly of him. That was a really eye-opener for me, and maybe we'll find out there was a side deal for Seattle to bypass him. Doesn't sound like there were many, if any, side deals, because the asking price was too high. But that was the, or maybe they really like this Morgan Geeky fella.
Yeah.
He's got a great name, but that was the one surprising one. When that one was came out yesterday morning, I was like, really?
Well, so. And for the way that Ron Francis was turfed by the owner, JR, the thing you're circling, well, maybe all your focus is on Mark Bergevin, but if you want to stick it to one organization, the last team you'd make a deal with, and this is even back to George McPhee with Brian McClellan in Washington, Brian said, forget it, and they end up losing Nate Schmidt and trying to make a deal. Yeah, no, I think you're not doing any favors. You don't do any favors for anybody, but if you really wanted to pluck somebody. So, yeah, there must be a more to a backstory, and as you said, must be very high on Mr. Geeky.
Mm-hmm. Frank Cervelli did a lot of heavy lifting, breaking the names of pretty much most, if not all, of the players that were picked up by Seattle yesterday. Everything was blown as far as the television production for last night. Anyway, Frank, of course, works for formerly of TSN, now at Daily Faceoff. Still very plugged in, insider. He's got a whole column that's just come out in a little bit about all the latest rumors, et cetera, that are out there. Just to bring everybody up to date on the Zach Hyman thing, he's reporting that the deal may be 7 or 8 years, but maybe given the length of it, maybe closer to $5 to $5.5 million on Hyman.
Just below RNH's number is what some people are reporting.
Yeah. So, and what did he end up being?
5.15.
Okay. All right. So does 8 years at $5 million at $40 million maybe make sense for Zach? If it's $1 million less, does that make you feel any better about it, or is the 8 years at 29 still scare you?
Well, the eight's ridiculous. But as I said, that's a deal you're living with in Edmonton. Keeping it at $5 million, if you said to me, hey, Zach Hyman, this would even be a funny exercise. Like, who do I think would be more productive in the next 3 or 4 years, Taylor Hall or Zach Hyman? I think it's a legitimate question. So if you said 4 years at $5 million per for an unrestricted free agent, I'd understand where you're doing that. But 8 years, but this is what you're dealing with. And there's situations, JR, and I go back to when Phaneuf and Kessel re-signed in Toronto, but especially with Phaneuf, I just remember saying to people, listen, I understand that it's ridiculous, but you have no other options. Like, they're going to walk for nothing. You could have, I guess, traded them. In the case of Edmonton, like, man, oh man, it looks foolish, but you have no choice. And if you're trying to keep it down a little bit, as I said, you'll wake up and say, are we a better team? And at $5 million for right now, Can I sleep at night on that? I'd say yes, you can. But my gosh, he and RNH to Smitty to losing Larson to bringing Barry back. You have to be real nervous about the program. And I don't care how smart you are, and Kenny's a good guy. If you don't draft well in any league, you're going nowhere. There's only so many trades you can pull off, and we're not a favorable destination. You have to overpay.
By the way, just further to the Jake Bean story, he's writing, Frank Cervelli is that they're trying to trade him. Carolina's trying to trade him. And Warren Fogle is another player they chose to protect at the last minute. So yeah. both are pretty decent players. So
yeah.
Interesting what's going on in Carolina, right? Are they looking to free up dollars to maybe take a final run at Dougie Hamilton?
Yeah.
To keep him there, or is that ship sailed?
Yeah, or guys just aren't good players. I mean, guys that come through junior JR and we hear about a little bit, and I don't know Bean well enough, I'll go to the Footfell in Tampa. Everyone's, oh, Tampa's really high in him. Well, if they're that high in him, why don't they move him along to somebody else? You know what I mean? And I know you can only lose one player, but some of these guys maybe just haven't materialized or aren't very good players. And like I said, Ron Francis would certainly have a real good feel on this. And the fact that they're then turning around trying to move him obviously tells you Carolina doesn't take a lot. And it's not like the alleviation of his contract, meaning Bean, isn't going to mean anything other than a roster spot to bring Dougie Hamilton back.
Is he still, right? I think he's still on his rookie deal,
isn't
he?
Yeah, exactly.
The other thing is players get to a certain level. And I'm not saying he's not an NHL player, but... And Dave Poulin, when he was on with us, says you get to a point where waivers come into it, right? And this is not to say that Jake Bean is going to be in the minors, but the problem with having too many players that kind of are at that same age group you can get stuck. Like Ottawa, and I'm not saying this is what happened with Rudy Balcers, right? They have a bulge of young players now, and it's almost like as this goes along here, we may see some trades where you kind of scratch your head where you go, well, why'd they trade a draft pick for an older player or whatever? That may be the result of just, you have a certain number of bodies that you can have at certain age groups where the math just doesn't work.
Yeah. Well, and if you draft good enough players, it's never a problem. But go to Lajoie, to Yarosh, you also end up, JR, players just become fed up of being in your system. Like, a lot of teams, even back when I played in the American League, there were teams, David Poile would make a trade with Moncton 3-for-3, just freshen it up. We're tired of you complaining why you're not on the team. So you go somewhere else. And the case of Rudy Balcer, this is also a guy that cleared waivers. This isn't just that they didn't want to trade you. So if you can turn it over quickly, freshen it up, there isn't the opportunity, that's really what you're looking for. And it's really tough at the minor league level because you go from that jokingly Jimmy Ralph story of a prospect to, kind of marinate a bit. And then that next meeting is, we want you to be good with the younger players and help your way. Well, I don't want to be that. I don't want to be the veteran American League player. I want to be a call-up, or I consider myself to still be a prospect. So it's a really interesting timing on how you do this, but at the same time, can never have enough good young players.
On text, I realize that goalie pads are really big right now, but I still believe Matt Murray with his equipment on could still fit into a standard size dumpster. No need to put him on the bench. Wow. Okay. Now that's a random assault.
Yeah.
That's a character assault right there. No. So there we go. Did Murray, Homer Hugh writes, did Murray not finish last season very strong before he got hurt again? That's from Homer Hugh.
Again, Homer Hugh, he did. He looked better, but again, and for Gustafson, different. It's a young goaltender, JR. I didn't have any expectations, so I was like, okay. But for everybody, and I know the Canadian teams are trying to make the playoffs, but it's a different realm, different feeling. I'll say this to Gus. First of all, it changed the fortunes to the point where if he never played, I would have been saying, oh my God, from an Ottawa side, you should have protected Decord. Well, he played well enough where I totally understand. I would have protected Gustafson. But as far as what Matt Murray's sample size was, I need to see everything from training camp on. I feel a tad better, but it doesn't. To me, there's not a carryover. I got to see this right from training camp, right from the exhibition games on.
Okay, Darren Dreger, CHL sources say final details being worked out with the NHL that will allow junior eligible players who played 20 or more AHL games last season to return to the American Hockey League next season rather than return to their major junior team. More complicated, but that's the gist of it. So that would immediately have people think about Ridley Gregg.
Yeah.
Of course, he sends third first-round pick last year, but he only ended up playing when it was all said and done 7 games with Belleville before going back to Brandon. So under what Darren writes, that would probably make him ineligible for that. And again, If you missed it yesterday, they named the summer, I'm not sure it's summer showcase or whatever it is, the Hockey Canada, and Ridly Gregg is the one Ottawa Senator prospect at this point that will be going to the camp, presumably will be in consideration to play on the World Junior team in Christmas.
And I asked this question at the end of last year, if in the case of Byfield, Drysdale, Perfetti, Rossi, anybody else, Jack Quinn, the season starts, will guys come back, JR? This is, first of all, if I'm the OHL, and Dave Branch is going to join us tomorrow at 7:10, this is a major, major hurt for the Ontario Hockey League. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I'm confident that Byfield to Drysdale to Perfetti, the OHL didn't play last year. The only reason Ridly Gregg went back is the WHL was playing. This is a big hurt where there could be a number of kids if they don't make the team. Like, Quinton Byfield's not even bringing his U-Haul back. I mean, there's no chance that he's coming back to Sudbury or Ontario. He's going to say, hey, if I don't make the LA Kings, I'm going back to the American Hockey League.
Realistically, though, Simmer, how many players are we talking about? Yeah, it's not that many.
No, I'm talking about the star power of the Ontario Hockey League as I try to relaunch my brand. And those three players right there, what does that mean to Saginaw? What does that mean to Sudbury? What does that mean?
I think Drysdale's an NHL defenseman already, right?
Yeah, he could be.
Whereas Byfield, you're talking about potentially a guy who could start next year in the A.
But it's something that the Ontario Hockey League and junior hockey has fought for a long time. And that, like I say, that next layer that's taken, hey, you start to take, well, you're taking three stars out of your league, and now you got other guys emerging, but you have to go through the numbers. But as I say, I think it's unfairly hurting the OHL is my point, because they didn't have a league. The Quebec League and Western League played some games. That's not the fault of the OHL, and some of these guys, like I say, will get to stay in the American League.
All right, so thoughts from Dave Branch, the OHL commissioner, coming up tomorrow here on the show. By the way, if you missed the news yesterday, CHL announced a multi-year partnership with TSN to be the new home of junior hockey in Canada. So TSN will be taking over, and I think they have 30 regular season games planned, and then full coverage of the Memorial Cup tournament as well. So TSN will be the new home of junior hockey. So that'll be great. We'll talk to Dave about that. That would certainly be something. He's no longer the president of the CHL, but very well thought of junior hockey executive. He would have been very much on board with.
Yeah, and on Perfetti played 32 games, as did Byfield. And talking about broadcasters, boy, I wonder with all the homework that Craig Button does, and also with Dave Poole, and talking about those rosters, JR, that'll be a lot of fun for TSN, because they already do a great job with the draft, the young players. Now, to get that next level of broadcasting and kind of information, hey, that'll be fun. If you're a Sens fan, it's Ridly Gregg, or it's the Finnish goaltender in Kingston, or anybody else coming along. I think there'll be a little more exposure on the TS sign, just a little bit more information for all of us.
Think about it. Like, Shane Wright is, by all accounts, going to be the first pick in next year's draft. So Shane Wright and the Kingston Frontenacs, I think, are going to get a fair amount of, because it is, even though it's junior hockey, how you get eyeballs is star power. How is star power? It's the highly rated kids for the next draft.
Yeah.
Shane Wright is going to be the number one pick in next summer's draft. So I would think Kingston is going to get a fair number of games. And therefore, again, if you're a Sens fan, Marilainen has confirmed that he is going to be the goalie in Kingston next season.
Yeah, it's also a nice marriage the way you incorporate it with the World Junior. And for kids coming out of that, whether you're building them up leading into the tournament, or we've certainly seen, and DiPietro being an example here in Ottawa, by the time he came out of World Junior, he was pretty much a household name here in Ottawa.
All right, so Dave Branch on the show tomorrow. Craig Button, TSN's chief scout as well, will be on the show tomorrow ahead of round one of the NHL draft, which